Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, and I've got a real treat for you. We've got Kevin Swanson in the Bahamas, of all places. Kevin, what in the world are you doing in the Bahamas?
We're rebuilding Bahamas. By God's grace, I have the opportunity to reconstruct the Grand Bahama Island, one church at a time, one home at a time. And no, I am not in my swim trunks, and no, I'm not on the beach.
You are not vacationing.
No, I'm not. No, actually, Adam, I'm worn out. This manual labor thing is not what I'm used to. I'm used to being at a desk.
I can understand.
Behind a microphone. I'm not used to, you know, drywall and roofing, but we've got a lot of neat projects going on down here. And it's just the beginning of a massive rebuild project. I want Pastor Norris Bain to speak to this as well.
Yes, Pastor Bain, tell us about how the September 2019 Hurricane Dorian affected your church and you personally.
I've spoken in several churches in the United States, and I kind of compare it to what the United States went through on 9/11. And I've told churches all over the U.S. that, like 9/11 changed the United States forever. I believe that Dorian has changed the lives of the inhabitants of the island of Grand Bahama and Abaco, and we've been changed forever. A lot of lives have been impacted by what Dorian did, inclusive of mine, but I still say that God is good, and we have to just realize and accept the fact that he is good and that he has a perfect will and a reason for all of this. And we might not understand it all right now, but we just have to keep trusting him and living his word, not just talking it, living it now. This is a good time for people to see that our talk and our walk, it lines up, and they can see God in us every day in spite of whatever difficulties we might be going through, still giving him praise, honor, and glory.
Hurricane Dorian was the worst natural disaster in your country's history, with 185 mile-per-hour winds. And last I checked, 43 people had died, thousands of houses were leveled, it tore down telecommunications, damaged roads and wells. Has that death toll gone up? Are people still unaccounted for?
Yeah, people are still unaccounted for. I'm not trying to be negative, but I don't think when the news reports are given, I don't think they're nowhere close in terms of who's missing and the amount of persons that are dead between the island of Grand Bahama and the island of Abaco. I just don't think they have any idea because, number one, because of the amount of undocumented aliens that were on the island of Abaco.
From Haiti?
Yes.
Tell me, how has Hurricane Dorian impacted Tabernacle Baptist Church specifically? What kind of damage did your church endure?
When I first saw the pictures, I was left with my mouth wide open because even though it's an island and we're surrounded by ocean, there are certain places on this island you never in your wildest dreams expect to see the ocean. To see the ocean at our church and our school was just unbelievable.
How far away is the ocean typically from your church?
About 15 miles, 15, 20 miles.
Oh, wow. Oh, I can see why you would be surprised.
We had about 5 to 6 feet of water on the property. We had to totally gut out that. The school lost its the roof over the computer lab, so we had to repair that. We had to gut out the entire church. We had to flush out every building that is owned by Tabernacle Baptist Church, change plugs, electrical receptacles, all that had to be changed because you didn't want a fire to happen once you were electrified again. The devastation was unreal in terms of the amount of water that came into facilities, not just at our church, but other churches and people's homes. My home and other homes on the island, there was just a lot of water. I took one of the guys that is here with Brother Swanson this week a few minutes ago and showed him a street. And on that street, there was like 5 40-foot boats that were still on the side of the road. And he was like, where did they come from? I said, Dorian brought them in and dropped them off there. And I don't know who they belong to, but at some point, persons are going to have to come and get a move from where they are, but they're way inland.
How much would you estimate the damage was in terms of a monetary value to Tabernacle Baptist Church there on the Grand Bahama Island?
I would say near $250,000, easy.
Okay. And how is Generations Ministry blessing you in terms of building materials and labor?
Oh, man, the labor and the material are impacting not just church in terms of the physical structure, but it's impacting the lives. Yesterday, they went to a lady in our church, and they repaired a roof, and I just overheard her saying to one of the brothers, "We've got to take some pictures," and she hugged him once, and then he walked away, and she called him back, and she hugged him again, just as a demonstration of her appreciation. And then last night, when Brother Rusty came in, one of our guys was assisting with putting up some trim in the church, and he stopped and he said, "I just want you to know how much we appreciate your ministry and what you are doing for us here on the island." And 1,000 tongues could not say thank you enough to Generation for what they are doing here on the island of Grand Bahama. There's not enough paper for us to write thank you to this ministry for what they have done and how they're impacting our church, our community, our schools. It's just unbelievable, and we are forever grateful.
I want to encourage our listeners right now to go to the website, generations.org/give, and click on the drop-down menu, International Ministry Outreach, where you can give financially to help further provide for the building materials that are necessary for Tabernacle Baptist and other churches that Generations is blessing on Grand Bahama Island, get the materials they need in short order. Kevin, as you have surveyed the Grand Bahama Island, what's the damage out there right now?
I've got estimates of about 60% of the island affected. Of course, the overall damage was something like 100% of the GDP, or about $1 billion of damage, which accounts for about 100% of the nation's GDP. And, you know, that contrasts with our very worst natural disaster, Katrina, which produced something like 1% or 2% of our GDP in damage. So, I mean, in terms of just setting this nation back on its heels, Dorian was utterly devastating. It was about 60% of the island of Grand Bahama, and 80-90% of Abaco were impacted by the hurricane. And most of it is out here in Freeport is going to be drywall and roofing. Further east and out towards Abaco, you're looking at entire devastation, houses just wiped off their foundations.
How does God use, in your view, these natural disasters for good purposes?
You know, what's happening in the churches here is, number one, the churches are far more relevant in terms of reconstructing the communities than the government. In fact, most of the materials, the water, the food, and now the drywall and the building materials are flowing through the churches. They're not coming anywhere else. They're just coming through the churches. And I think the communities are looking towards the churches. Our neighborhoods are gathering around the churches, are coming to the churches for purified water. You can't drink the tap water here. You can't even brush your teeth with water. So they are going to the churches where ministries have put in purification systems. So they're reliant on the churches here. Without the churches, people would be dead. The other thing that's happening that's important is that there's a coming together, there's a unity of the body. And certainly we are experiencing that as one of the first teams out here rebuilding churches and homes. We are experiencing a great deal of the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and it's a fantastic experience. I think every one of our team would say, this is one of the best experiences of our lives, because we're understanding what it is to be the hands and the feet of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the same thing is happening between churches, and I think Pastor Bain can speak to that too, that there is probably more cooperation between churches going on right now in the Grand Bahama than ever before in recent history. It's pulling together the unity of the body. I think it's also a tremendous evangelistic experience. I think Pastor Bain referenced to me two people who came to the services as a result of the ministry that the churches is bringing to the community. They have converted. So hopefully the hearts are softening. We're always hoping these would be times in which people begin to understand, yes, the power of God, the strength of these hurricanes, and the judgment of God to some extent, but also the amazing redemption of Jesus that comes by the gospel and by the churches.
You're listening to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus. We're talking to Kevin Swanson, who is in the Grand Bahama Island in the Bahamas, where they endured the worst natural disaster in the country's history, September 2019. We want to take a quick time out and encourage you to go to the website generations.org/give. Click on Support International Ministry Outreach if you'd like to be a blessing to Tabernacle Baptist Church. We'll be right back.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We continue now with Kevin Swanson on the line from the Bahamas, as he is not enjoying vacation time, but indeed is doing some hard work for the Lord, as he and the team from Colorado is there on the ground blessing Tabernacle Baptist Church in particular with putting up drywall and roofing materials and repairing one particular lady's roof that had been leaking disastrously, leading to mold in previous months. You can be a part of it by going to generations.org/give. On the drop-down menu, click on the International Outreach Ministry, where you can give financially to help with our desire to continue to bless the churches that have been hit on the Grand Bahama Island. Now, Kevin, right now, 150,000 pounds of drywall and roofing materials have been provided thanks to the generosity of this audience.
Yeah, and it's encouraging. It's neat to walk into the warehouse here at Freeport Community Church out here in Freeport and just see, you know, looks like Home Depot out there in terms of all of the material that we were able to ship in here. And it was just a huge shot in the arm and encouragement to the churches here and the homes. I think what you need to do is just step out and contribute something, and what you find is that becomes a tremendous encouragement, boost of faith, and encouragement to the Christians out here that are receiving these materials. We're starting out with the churches. We're helping with the widows, the single moms. We're trying to address some of the most needy of those church members involved with this. Our motto is to do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of God. We're able to do that with this material. And I think one of the things that was neat was we were able to get it at wholesale prices, duty-free. And one of the key things is the quicker we get that in there, the more we're able to take advantage of the duty-free provision on the part of the Bahamas government in order to save on taxes. That's going to apply to humanitarian aid until June of 2020. So we've got a window of, say, 5 to 6 months to get this material in. You know, $35,000, $40,000 you might put into a couple of 40-foot flats would equate to something like $100,000 if you were to just purchase these materials down at the local hardware stores. We're providing a lot of materials. We're prioritizing the churches, the ministries, the single moms, the most needy in the churches. The best way to begin the rebuild, see, I think that's the first domino. Now, you hit that domino, you contribute, and the church begins to operate, and I think you're going to see that the rest of the nation is going to come together and rebuild as well.
Are there any estimates of what would be required to rebuild all the churches on Grand Bahama Island?
Wow, I think it's going to cost something like $50 million is my guess. Pastor Norris Fain just said his church was impacted $250,000, but that's only in materials, and it's only in terms of the church building itself. You add the 10 or 15 homes that were involved in the flooding and such, and that's going to be upwards of probably $1 million of damage for that particular church. Now, multiply that times 50 to 100 churches on the island, and you're looking at, you know, anywhere between $50 million and $100 million in damage, and that's just for the repair of the churches and the homes connected to those churches. So I would say this is a $50 million to $100 million project, of which, you know, we've contributed something. It feels like just a drop in the bucket, but it's, you know, the first domino. We're hoping that this will stimulates other charitable offerings. In addition, I think we need lots and lots of teams coming over here. Ours is the first team we know. I think there's another team from Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale that's been here. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have been active as well. This is one of the very first teams that's hit the ground running. We're just one team. We've got 12 guys. We got four roofing guys and eight drywall guys. We've made tremendous progress in just 2 days. We'll be here for a week. Adam, I'm saying this is going to take at least 500 teams to pull off the rebuild of most of the churches and the homes related to these churches across this island. So my vision is that this radio program and others like it would stimulate other ministries across America to pull together teams of 6, 8, 10, 12 to do some major rebuilding here. And it's just an ideal missions project. This is an ideal opportunity to join partnership with other ministries in other nations and really, you know, do the work of Christ. This is what Jesus would do.
Samaritan's Purse, I know, has been on the ground for some time. What have you seen of their work?
Samaritan's Purse has done some great things. They've provided the tarps for the roofs, which, you know, is a temporary guard and keeps people somewhat dry. So I'm looking out the window right now and probably seeing one of the tarps contributed by Samaritan's Purse. They also put a makeshift hospital out, which has been operating for quite some time. They've done some good things. They're a good stopgap. They're also considering some rebuild projects. My understanding is they haven't done that yet. As far as I know, we are the first major project on the ground right now on the Grand Bahama Island.
What is the government doing specifically?
The neat thing about this government is they are opening up opportunities for ministries like us to get on the island and do the work. They're sort of getting out of the way and also removing VAT taxes, duty taxes for the materials, and that's been such a blessing for us. It's my feeling that we should not just stand by, or anybody should stand by and wait for the government to do the work or to fund the rebuilds. I don't think we want that to happen, or I don't think we need that to happen. I think that private churches, ministries, and humanitarian organizations like ours can do the work. This is the work of Christ. I mean, we don't want the forced redistribution of the wealth to be called upon. We really want some voluntary organizations to step forward and say, here, we just want to love on the brothers and the sisters on the Grand Bahama Island. And that's the kind of thing that's been happening with our ministry and other ministries as well. This is such a great opportunity, maybe the best opportunity of a lifetime, to contribute to a nation that is just next door to us. I mean, these are our neighbors. This is certainly the best opportunity for the Good Samaritan to provide some aid for a neighbor. She's only 60 miles offshore, Florida. So a close neighbor, she's lost just a major portion of her homes. She's just in vast need of a lot of outreach on the part of American churches. I think we are in the position to provide that need.
How much does it cost to get there on the plane, and how would a church bring a group over, much less the materials?
Bahama Air, Silver Airways, they have now finally made it into the Grand Bahama Island. They were cleared about 2 to 3 weeks ago, thanks actually to a lot of work that Norris Bain put into that, because we had to resort to the ferry boat for a while. So you can get here, I'm going to say, for about $250 from Fort Lauderdale. So it's really not that expensive to get here. If you can partner with churches, then there's housing provided as opportunity for minimal expense in terms of room and board. And so I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, you're not expending too much to get here. Once you're here, if you're willing to, you know, sign up and do these projects, these churches here are willing to partner with you. And so that's the thing to do, is partner with a local church. My encouragement is that people contact the Generations Ministry, contact myself at host@generations.org if you have interest in a team that you'd like to bring to the islands and you'd like to partner with a particular church on this island. We could help you with that.
What about the building materials? Is that something that the average church group would also fund, or is it just that they need warm bodies to put up the drywall and fix the roofs?
You know, the main thing we need, Adam, right now is way more warm bodies to do the work. We have plenty of material. In fact, I'm just looking out there. We are probably, our team is only going to use maybe 5% of that material on this trip. I doubt if we're going to be able to use up 5%. So there's going to be 95% of the material we sent already just sitting in this warehouse waiting for the next teams to begin to use these materials to the rebuild projects here on the Grand Bahama Island. So I would suggest that people just prioritize the gathering together of a team. Now, this is very practical work. This is very useful work. I'm not a huge fan of missions teams going out to Timbuktu just to sit around. It just seems like there's a lot of waste in terms of mission teams with American churches. But when you come to an island that's been devastated by a hurricane in the midst of crisis, much like Jerusalem was during the famine that hit Jerusalem, and the church in Macedonia, et cetera, were called upon to help the church in Jerusalem. I think that's a similar situation here, where we can step up and help in a time of crisis. And if you show up in time of crisis with a drywall screw gun and a hammer to start some serious rebuild projects on the roofing and the drywall wreckage, I think it's impossible for you to do it wrongly. I think that we can all be of tremendous use in the kingdom if we apply ourselves to missions trips, especially during the times of crisis, like the crisis that hit the Bahamas back in September. Remember, this is the worst hurricane to hit the Bahamas in the history of this nation, and it consumed something like 100% of the GDP of the nation. So if you're looking for a nation in crisis, if you're looking for churches that need help, this would be one of your best opportunities in a lifetime.
Kevin Swanson joining us by telephone line from Grand Bahama Island in the Bahamas, as he has a team of about 10 or 12 who are helping to do drywall and roofing repair there for a week. Plenty of building materials to access. Are you offering then for Generations listeners to be the one that coordinates teams that go over as they contact you by email? Or would you prefer that they contact Tabernacle Baptist or Freeport Chapel directly?
At this point, I'd recommend they contact us at host@generations.org first, only because we have a list of contacts that we can refer to them. I've talked to several of the pastors out here earlier today and asked them that very question, and they said, well, it would be better if anybody interested in helping out here would contact us, because we have a pretty good sense for the lay of the land out here, and we have a list of contacts, pastors, men who are willing to partner with American ministries and churches. I'd recommend they contact us at host@generations.org.
One specific particular technical question: does a given Christian interested in helping those in the Bahamas rebuild their churches in their homes have to have technical know-how about how to put up drywall, or is that something that you can kind of learn as you go if you pull together a group and you get over there?
That's a great question. What I required for my team, absolute minimum, was a contractor or a roofing guy and a drywall guy. I think without a good drywall guy, without a good roofing guy or contractor on the team, you probably do not have a team really quite qualified to do much work out here. Now, that means you've got two leaders. You've got a good roofing guy or a contractor. You've got a good guy who knows how to do drywall, tape and texture. But the rest of my team, I said there are other 10 of us, are just manual labor guys, I mean, like me. You know, guys who can cut drywall and carry drywall pieces from here to there and lift packages of roofing and get it on the roof and such and do the nailing. I would say guys that are willing to work 8-9 hour days in the sun or in rather hot weather. But at the same time, I'd recommend that your team leaders would be guys fairly qualified in the area of contracting, roofing, and drywalls. That would be the basic constituent requirements for any team that would come out here. But again, you know, you've got two leaders, say one or two leaders, guys who know how to build houses and such. They can bring along 8 or 9 or 10 who are just willing to learn and hopefully have done a little bit in the past, but are willing to do practical work for a week or two at a time. It gets hot here after March, so people need to understand that most of the work probably should be done in January, February, or March. After March, it gets super hot, and don't count on air conditioning in any of the buildings where you're working.
So if people cannot come and do a missions trip with their family, with their church, we've been encouraging people to consider giving by going to generations.org/give. Clicking on the drop-down menu to support international outreach. How much money would you like to see God bring in for the express purpose of providing building materials for the Bahamian churches in the next 2 weeks to a month?
You know, Adam, I would really appreciate something like $100,000. Remember, you take it $100,000, you triple the value of that if you can buy wholesale and you're duty-free on the humanitarian aid coming into the country. So that means that $100,000 of materials would cover something like $300,000 of value once it hits the island. So that would be, I think, a good goal for rebuilding a number of churches, perhaps 15, 20, 30 churches out here in the Freeport area. Now, that's not saying we're going to make it to the east side. That's not saying we're going to make it to Abaco. Those islands are terribly devastated. But our strategy is let's rebuild what we can right now, because much of Abaco and the eastern side has moved into Freeport, and there's limited housing here in Freeport at this point. I guess our strategy is let's rebuild here in Freeport, and that provides more resources for people who are staying here. And then later on, the churches here and other ministries can start working on other parts of the country. So that's the strategy that we are working with. I think it's probably going to be the most effective to bless families and friends that are staying here in Freeport whose homes have been devastated over on the east side.
Before I ask Pastor Bain one last question, how did you select Tabernacle Baptist and Freeport Chapel as churches that generations would bless with building materials and groups to put together the drywall and the roof repair?
I have to say that Tabernacle Baptist Church, Pastor Norris Bain, Rockland Barbs out here at Freeport Gospel Chapel are some of the most can-do and godly serving Christian men I've worked with in my life. That is what matters the most. You've got to partner with the can-do, get-her-done kind of pastors. They're willing in faith to move ahead and start rebuilding the island. It takes faith. It takes some courage. It takes somewhat of a can-do attitude to do this. And these are the men that we have chosen to work with here on the island. I can't think of better men of God to rebuild a nation that's gone through utter devastation like what we've seen here on the Bahama Island. So praise God for his provision of these men and these churches here in Freeport. So I'm really thrilled to be working with these guys. Pastor Bain, I think you're the best, and I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to work with you.
Pastor Bain, what would you say directly to the listener who's tuned in right now about the importance of them prayerfully considering bringing a team to minister by way of practical help in rebuilding Tabernacle Baptist and Freeport Gospel Chapel?
People that are willing to work drywall, sheetrock, people willing to get on the roof, definitely people with some experience in terms of that kind of stuff are the most important people right now here on the island. Because this is so well laid out now, we have a team at Freeport Gospel Chapel. We had a team over at Tabernacle this morning, and we have a team that is impacting the family out in the community. Get with our generation ministry and Pastor Swanson, and he will get you in contact with the right people, people that are going to be there on time, get you where you need to be on time. Make sure that you don't have to be worrying about little small things like food and transportation. We got all that covered here already. So just need people with a mind to work.
All you need to do is reach out to Kevin Swanson by email, host@generations.org. If you'd like to put together a team from your church, host@generations.org, indicate in the subject line, I'd like to help rebuild Grand Bahama churches. Kevin, before we go, would you close us with a prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. Father in heaven, oh God, we worship you. We praise you for your power, for your great might, and for your amazing redemption in Jesus. We are so thankful, Father, that not only do you send us these trials and tribulations, but you show us a way through. You give us the grace to make it through, and we find ourselves that even though we may be lambs to the slaughter, we are still more than conquerors through him who loved us. We pray, Father, that this disaster that hit this nation, indeed, you were sovereign over that, but you're also sovereign over the great opportunities of redemption, rebuilding that we can bring to this country. And we pray, Father, that you would bless our first and meager efforts, and that these would snowball in something bigger and better. And we pray, Father, that the love of the body, the unity of the church would only increase because of the work that we are doing as we're pulling together to serve Jesus and to bring a redemption to this country. We pray that your gospel that saves us from our sins would be the gospel that is preached across this nation. We pray for a great turning back to you in true faith and repentance, Lord. We pray that there would be a mighty revival that occurs on this island and throughout this country as well. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Two clear action steps. Number one, if you'd like to bring a team from your church to bless the folks at Tabernacle Baptist and Freeport Gospel Chapel, send an email to Kevin Swanson at host@generations.org, host@generations.org. Indicate how many people you'd like to put together. Remember, the cost for a plane ticket from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to the Bahamas is only $250. They can provide the food and the transportation and the housing while you're there. And the second application point, the goal is to raise $100,000 here in the next month. All you need to do to be part of that is go to the website generations.org/give, and on the drop-down menu, select International Outreach. Again, that's generations.org/give and select International Outreach. I'm Adam McManus, chatting with Kevin Swanson in the Bahamas, inviting you back next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. We'll